Joe presents Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, together with Guinness.
Hello and you're welcome to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby, your brand new rugby show brought to you weekly live from Dublin. And before we crack on, just a big hello to all our Hard Yard listeners and great to have you on board for the new series. I am Barry Murphy.
This I'm is Andrew Trimble. Trimble. Party on, Baz.
Party on. Trimble.
You're about to go Wayne? Yeah. You're about to go Wayne.
Garth. I'm Wayne, man.
I know, sorry. Yeah, fair enough. I'm playing second fiddle, aren't I?
Ah, look, he has his place, you know.
Oh, that's he does patronizing. You're important too.
Look, my name is first on the show, you know, man.
Yeah, but that's because initially they were going to go Baz and Trimbies, and I thought they were going alphabetical. But now I'm starting to think that was just an excuse to make my name second regardless.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway.
So, yeah, going on that, what we're going to call you, Andrew?
That's fine. Whatever. Call me whatever you want.
Okay, because we've got like
a few options.
Trimby, Trimbo, Trim.
The lesser known Trimbo.
Trimba. David Trimble.
I've got called David before. Yeah.
Lord David Trimble.
Yeah, you can call me Lord if you want.
Lord, what was the other one? I had a good one. Trimble the long-armed.
It's probably a little bit long.
Very long arms. What about Andrew Trimble? Are your hands as long as your arms, or is it just like?
My hands aren't as long as my arms. What you meant was, are they in proportion with my long arms?
Yeah, they kind of are, aren't they?
I think they're.
They're quite long.
They're accurate.
Quite long.
They're accurate. Barry, you also have quite long arms.
Not as freakishly long as yours.
No, mine. I've grown into my arms.
Yeah.
I think whenever initially my arms started getting noticed for being, you know, longer than it's necessary, it's whenever I was maybe 80 kilos, a little bit skinnier, and that was sort of exaggerated a little bit.
Okay.
But they came in handy. It was a good job for having long arms.
Yeah. Trimble the long arm. Uh-huh. We'll go with. Or, no, do you know what, Lord...
It's not punchy. It's not quite punchy enough.
Lord David Trimble. My dad rang me the other day, actually, to say that we had played together, believe it or not. He was like, do you know yourself and David Trimble played together in Coleraine under 10s in 1992 and then in the Pat Lawler in Limerick in 1992? And I was like, David Trimble. He's like, yeah. I was like, don't you mean... Lord David?
He's like, yes, Lord, yes, sorry, Lord. Of course. I don't know your dad.
Yeah, well, I think he may have met you back then. You obviously made a huge impression on him back then.
Not really, he got my name wrong.
That's true, well, he gets everyone's name wrong.
Yeah, but we go back even further, though. You played at the Korean tournament as well, is that right?
That's right, yeah. Uh-huh. Under 10s, when that was the done thing back then. You'd go up for a weekend and... It was an excuse for the parents to take their kids away and go on the piss for 3 days, basically.
Yeah.
And you'd offload the child into a fellow teammate's or opposition team's house for the weekend.
Yeah, no health and safety in those days.
No.
No police checks.
No.
Go on, you be grand.
You be grand.
Give us a couple of days here.
Yeah. Up on the train and the parents would be in the front carriage on the lash and we'd be down the back playing cards as 9-year-olds.
The good old days.
The good old days, yeah. Yeah, so that's as far back as we go now.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. And now, obviously, we're both retired. We're doing our own things, and you're, a cool dude in a band nowadays, aren't you?
I do my best. Yeah.
So you in the band, you've kind of got that, you've got that balance between, you know, you're kind of, you've got the rugby background, so you're kind of straight lace, you know, but you've got that alt kind of groomed beard and nose ring.
Groomed?
Yeah, it's Manscaped.
Wild.
It's Manscaped.
Wild.
I'd say you're halfway between Michael Bublé and Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Yeah?
Yeah. Beautiful voice like Bublé, but a bit wild, maybe like Amy Winehouse. Yeah, I'll take that.
Wild, but within reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
wild, but not silly.
I'll take it. Is that all you're giving me?
Oh, sorry. Yeah. You also.
That's my intro.
Yeah. Have you introed me?
I was just about to.
You've also played for Munster for a while.
I did a few times. Yeah. That was years ago. Whereas you've played 303 times for Ulster and Ireland combined. 2 World Cups, Celtic League, and 6 Nations. Irish Player of the Year 2014. That's pretty class now, I'll give you that.
Memorised. Was that memorised?
Yeah, it's kind of written here in front of me. I was told to say it. So, you know, I'm doing my bit. But I believe by 2014, most of the best players had retired at that point. So, like, that's probably one of the reasons.
Yeah, fair enough.
Why you got that right? And you were kind of, you were on the way out, and they were like, just give it to him.
Give it to him. Go on, I'll get rid of him.
And you were also in the team that beat the All Blacks, which. That's pretty special. So yeah, you're allowed to talk shite about rugby. I'll give you that. You've your credentials check out. So begin. Tell us.
Okay.
What of rugby?
Okay. Well, we'll get straight into the Leinster game, will we?
Yeah. Well, what are we gonna cover today?
We're gonna cover Leinster, Munster, and Ulster. We're gonna talk about. First of all, we're gonna talk about Freddie Burns dropping the ball over the line.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, that was glorious.
I know,
wasn't it?
It was a real balance between glorious hilarity and that poor fella. I swear, that is miserable.
Good, yeah, that's isn't good because a lot of people. I saw some people on, like, I think Jeremy Guskett went to town on him. Like, yeah, what an
that's
idiot!
Mean. That is mean,
like,
isn't it?
Leave it out, man. Who, like, yeah. What, you know, who do you think you are? We've all done stupid things, and yeah, I would prefer to see the funny side and the feel sorry. Like, we were texting each other on Saturday, and I was like. This is so funny. My God. But then I was like, I saw his tweet and I was like, oh. And I tweeted him. I was like, fair. Not that he knows who I am, but I was like, fair play.
You tweeted him?
Yeah, I was like,
oh, geez,
fair play.
See, that's the Michael Bublé in you. That's the nice guy.
Yes.
Amy Winehouse wouldn't have tweeted him.
But then Amy Winehouse came right back in and she was like, well, he blew a kiss. Like, who blows a kiss when they're going over the try line? I just thought that was outrageous. Like, so I think we've got some audio of that clip, have we?
Of audio of the kiss.
Of the kiss.
Through this time, oh, there it is, Freddie Burns, a kiss and a score.
Ooh. Oh, he's dropped it! No. Oh, he's kissed and dropped it!
Oh no, he's missed the kick and he's missed the try, has he? Maxi Medar was in there with a boot to disrupt.
God.
Yeah.
It's so tough.
Did you see his mate? I don't know who it was. His teammate slapped him in the back.
Yeah, biggie.
He didn't need that.
It was the equivalent of kicking him up the hole, wasn't it? Like, God. I watched The Simpsons yesterday. I was just sitting at home in my dressing gown and The Simpsons episode came on. And it was the one where Homer, there was a nuclear meltdown in the nuclear plant and Homer saves everyone by pressing the button and they put him up as a hero and stuff. And then it happens again and they're like, Homer, it's going to happen again. What do you do? And he just goes like eeny meeny miny mo, catch a tiger by the toe, and he presses a button and he saves them, and they're like, this is what you did, you idiot. So they're like, they praise him as being an idiot who actually it works out okay for him.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is kind of like Freddie Burns. So it was obviously idiotic, but I think so many people are kind of going, ah, fair play to you though, you know, you're great, that he could end up being like, you know, a cult hero because of this. I'm going to certainly watch him.
You should have tweeted him the link, the Homer Simpson link.
Yeah, because remember Homer goes into the dictionary. They put his face in the dictionary.
I haven't seen that episode.
So they could put a Freddie Burns in the dictionary. Maybe we could edit that in.
That would have cheered him up.
Yeah.
You know, listen, it's obviously, you got beat in European Cup. You've let down loads of supporters. Loads of players are giving you a hard time. But listen, Homer bounced back from this, so
yeah,
you should be grand.
You should call. It could be called, he did a Freddie Burns.
Yeah,
you know, but it could ultimately be positive.
I've dropped the ball over the line.
What a way. Mm-hmm. How?
Yeah, might have been.
Were you celebrating? Like,
no, geez. No, I wasn't kissing.
Okay,
I wasn't kissing the badge or nothing like that. It was a way to Aroni, the old zebra, on the blue or on the red button, whatever it was, the alternate, whatever, on Sky.
And God,
I know. Yeah, it got no exposure or like. I don't even know if there was a TMO with the game. There wasn't, like, it was one of these games that just went on behind closed doors, kinda. And I was never so thankful. So I was ran over, no one anywhere near me, and I just went to put the ball down with one hand and knocked it out of my hand with my knee. It was my long arms weren't long enough, Barry.
Oh my God, the irony of that.
Yeah.
You got cocky, you were like, my arm is long enough that I can just sweep the ball across the floor.
My arms are perfectly designed for occasions like this.
I don't need to bend these legs. Yeah. Sweep my
what do you need knees for when you got arms like this? So knocked it on, and then kind of went down in a bit of a heap.
Oh,
but
no.
But my physio was right there. And I was sort of sitting on my knees, and I was just, I had my head kind of in my hands a little bit for a moment. And Gigi, the physio, came over and he said, "Trim, is everything okay? You all right? What's up? And I was there. This is just 100% embarrassment. There's no injury. unless you've got something for embarrassment, then go away.
So, well, you've got 303 caps for Ulster. You've scored, so he should have been. He should have given him a script, man.
Good timing. Yeah.
Big you up all the time.
Yeah.
Do you remember Will Carling's one? Did you ever see that?
No.
I think that was the greatest.
I was thinking through other ones last night, and Will, I didn't even think of the one.
Check it out on YouTube. It's unbelievable. He runs over the dead ball line, and he's just kind of strolling, and he tries to get closer to underneath the posts, and he kind of steps inside. I think he's playing with Harlequins. I can't remember who he's playing against. And whoever he tries to step inside, he's good bit over the try line. He's just taking it easy. And whoever catches him right underneath both his arms and kind of lifts him up.
Oh, yes, I've seen that one.
And both his legs are off the ground.
Yes.
Trying to touch it down. But the ball is about 6 inches off the ground and your man just carries him out over the pit.
Yes, I have seen that one. Yeah.
It was so perfect.
Leguizamon, the Argentinian back row at London Irish, dropped the ball of the line, and he was fully showboating. His was way worse than Freddie Burns.
Really?
It wasn't this high profile game, and it wasn't like a try to win the game, but it was worse, definitely worse.
Dancing, or
he was doing a big swan dive or swallow dive.
Oh yeah.
Chris Ashton.
Yeah.
We're all hoping it happens to Chris Ashton at some stage.
Yeah,
really not.
Yeah. It hasn't.
Did Dominici do that as well, the French winger?
I can't remember.
I think he might have done it again for France in the Six Nations, and I think he knocked it on over the line, and then the worst thing about it was it went to his reaction, and it did a slow-mo of the horse lips. I hope I'm remembering this correctly. Yeah,
perfect response for something like that.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyway, yeah, it was great. It was, what an action-packed weekend, like having that, and then I suppose the rugby was pretty good as well.
Yeah.
Leinster taking the piss at this stage, I suppose.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Aren't
wasn't
they?
It? Yeah.
It was just always going that way. They just, even though it was tight up until 38 minutes, you could just tell physically they were getting on top of them. They were just challenging them in all areas. Wasps didn't have much of the ball, and you're just going, this is only a matter of time. I'm surprised they hung in there that long. Mm-hmm. Then the Sopawanga yellow card, then Leinster went, right, enough mucking about here. Let's put this game out of sight.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think that was such a clinical moment, because like most teams would have probably just put that ball off the field at 40 minutes and gone in at half time with a decent first half, you know, having been up against the wind. But they take a quick tap in the 22, and then Sopawanga gets penalised, yellow card, and then McGrath's try directly after that was just like the intent to play and go through phases with different options, like Sexton had it and having someone on his inside, pick and goes, McGrath having a dart, having the usual Sexton loop play, some hard runners. They literally had any variety of play you could think of was in that 14 phases or 15 phases, whatever it was. And then, yeah, to kind of nail, like it's always a good one to kind of a little nail in the coffin or something just before half time, or just put your stall out or whatever.
Yeah, the ball to tag burn in a bit of tag furlong in a bit of space as well.
Oh, that was insane!
Ridiculous. He's showing off, isn't he?
Yeah,
he's showing off. It's not right. It's not right.
Yeah, I tweeted about it, and then Niall Ronan, former Munster fullback or wing forward, who's a massive GA fan and who was a big footballer, Gaelic footballer. He just tweeted back saying that's Tighe's footballing skills there. I think he was a big Gaelic footballer, which is clear. Like the footwork, the vision, the speed.
Yeah.
But it shows, I suppose, where Leinster are at, that they've got all across the pitch, they've got players that can play like that.
Yeah. It's frightening to kind of imagine how good this Leinster side could be potentially, and how they're just head and shoulders better than anybody else in the competition. Saracens were okay. They did like a good job up in Glasgow. Not an easy place to go, but just I still think no one's anywhere near Leinster at the minute.
Yeah, and it's like for Joe Schmidt as well. Like he's not gonna. How can he ignore anyone that was on the pitch the other night? You know, going into these November internationals and the World Cup. Like, you know, we'd such a bolter when James Ryan last year, and how much he came on in 12 months. Then you know you got Conan this year, Van der Fleer, and even Ruddock the other night, the three of them in the back were unbelievable. Luke McGrath, Ringrose, Larmour, like, where does it end?
I wish they were less likeable as well. Like, back, you know, like the Leinster brand. I'm going, oh, those guys. Yeah. But they're all good lads.
Yeah,
That's the annoying thing. And even Sexto, before the game, might have been midweek, he was interviewed, and he was talking about, you know, last time Wasps were here, they put 35 points on us or something. And you're going, oh, that's so annoying how humble he is.
Yeah, yeah.
I want him to be cocky and arrogant, like the Leinster way, but... Yeah. He's humble. Then after the game, Leo Collins going, you can't win the European Cup in the first week. You know, you just got to, you know, he's just playing it down, But
that's the way to do it.
They must know how good they are.
Yeah, but they don't really, like, they don't take the foot off the pedal at the same time. They don't, you know, the 80th minute, they're still, you know, Larmour's scoring like a brilliant try and how hard they work for that. The last three tries, like Sexton putting the ball through his legs and James Ryan's carry for that try as well, like they're still up in the ante. They want to keep putting scores on the board and they're still outworking every team, you know, even in the 70-odd minutes. So,
James Lowe's still showing off, isn't he?
Yeah. He's taking the piss as well.
I know.
I think he was, again, immense the other night. Like, the break for his try, like that try was ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
And I know you've got a few issues with him, if you want to tell.
I do, yeah.
The peeps. Go on.
Now, I think when you're performing as well as James Lowe, you have to search quite hard to find issues with his performance. And one area that he's been extremely inaccurate in is his high fives. I think some of his celebrations are really poor.
Yeah.
Really poor.
It's just...
Terrible. Terrible high fives. They're like, you know what? They're like Ryder Cup high fives. You know, like nerds, like nerdy golfers, old golfers, like swinging and miss. And for James Lowe, now actually he improved his performance at the weekend.
So it's the inaccuracy is your problem?
I think so, yeah. And to be fair, when you're scoring as many tries as James Lowe is or making as many assists, you need to sort that out because you're going to be giving a lot of high fives. You're going to be doing a lot of celebrating.
Well, I noticed that when you said it, I was like, I went back and I watched the Munster match and I was focusing mostly on his high fives. And I think he started looking at himself in the screen, the big screen. So then that's when they became extra inaccurate because he was just swatting.
Yeah.
And he was just looking at himself. But, like, you got to focus on the hand.
You've got to concentrate.
You know when you hit that proper clap, like, it's when you look at the other person's hand.
Yeah.
Or their elbow or something like that. I can remember thinking about this before.
But yeah, Joe Schmidt will watch that back and he'll say, like, next play, once you score the try, then you get yourself worried about the celebration.
Yeah.
Celebrate correctly, because otherwise it's a waste, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But it's just a numbers game with him. He's just swinging left, right and centre. And listen, the odd one's landing, but from someone of his quality, he needs to be landing a higher percentage of high fives.
Okay, well, I think that's something we should keep an eye on for the whole series and the whole season is just...
Yeah, I wonder if we've got carried away here. I wonder if...
But he's a character. I think, you know, that's like, I think, did you see his interview after the game the other day?
Yeah.
Where he had a bit of a mishap the night before the match, which I kind of loved. That is, well, I didn't like that his car was broken into, but I liked his reaction where he wanted. Well, let's have a listen. I think we've got some audio here.
My car got broken into last night. Man, I couldn't bloody believe it. Living in the heart. Nah, they didn't take anything. Oh, man, I don't know what's going on. They broke the bloody smallest window. And then just ran off. If you find them, tell me. Police rang me yesterday. It was quite weird, a funny chat. I was like, man, if you do find them, give me 10 minutes with them. You know, and he just giggled to himself.
There you go. That's it. That's the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, so he's...
Lawless.
Yeah, he is. He's a rascal, isn't
lawless
he?
Lawless by name, lawless by nature, lawless by name.
Nice. If he gets in a room with whoever broke into his car... And he's swinging a few digs. I hope he's more accurate than he is with the high fives.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
If the guy knows him at all, he'll just go in there and stand. He'll be grand.
Yeah.
Stand there, I guess. Do your worst.
Well, anyone that knows James Lowe, pass that on to him. But anyway, we're Munster fans. We're going to come back to you in a while. And we'll go through the Exeter match and everything that happened there. But now, Ronan O'Gar is back from New Zealand and doing a bit of Champions Cup punditry with Joe Malloy on Virgin Media, but he was sound enough to come in here and have a chat with us. So this is a little chat we had with Raj last week. Raj,
great to see you.
You too, Baz.
Thanks for coming in. Appreciate it. I've seen more of you in the last 2 weeks than I have in the last 6 years.
Yeah, but
and it's been great.
It has been.
Yeah,
it's been an eye opener for all of us. But yeah, I must say I missed you, and it's been an interesting few weeks.
Yes, thanks, man. I missed you too. I agree. For anyone watching and listening, we were in New York 2 weeks ago for a Munster reunion, is that what we call it? / fundraiser?
Yeah, I think probably better to say fundraiser for the players of tomorrow coming through as opposed to...
We made a fortune.
Yourself and Wally were in New York for a 3-day...
I know, you were pretty
shindig
close.
Shindig would be the best way of describing it. But
I was saying to Trimby earlier that it's like... it's like we're an old donkey sanctuary, you know, and they wheel us out every once in a while and they get to just bring us around the country and try and make money for Munster. And I was thinking they could potentially bring us to like Electric Picnic next year, and on a Sunday morning you come out and you can get to feed the claw an apple or ride Golliv around the place or, you know, get to see Peter Stringer, the amazing 2-foot rugby player and stuff like that, you know.
There are a lot of freaks in our group.
Yeah, good crack, goodness.
Yeah, well, I wonder about the audience. Do they all see it like the way we see it? You know,
yeah,
I think even
yeah.
other rugby players are. I think I said somewhere during the week though that I have massive appreciation though for having played with people you never play with against. There'll never be a Claw or Golliv in rugby again. It's just impossible.
Yeah,
and it's great to have memories like that. You know, I mean, obviously Axel as well, different breed, Quinny. Guys like that is very, very different to Pokey to an extent in that Munster group. But yeah, I think we always said, because when we were players, I can remember even discussing with fellas like Trims and Tommy and Johnny and Rico, you'd be going, those past players, they just kind of like talking about themselves. I hope we don't end up like that, but I think we're definitely on the road.
I know.
It was a different game in our day.
Yeah. Well, I think it'd be fair to say you always had a massive grow for the 15 players within the four walls. That for me was a standout part of who you were. It was all about, didn't matter fuck about anyone else, but the 15 players that were, you know, on your team. Or,
yeah, most you know. Definitely as a player when I saw that. Mm-hmm. Now my coaching hat on, Baz, it's a really interesting point because I was probably kingpin in Munster in Ireland, not being cocky for a long time. So the role of number one is a very different role, okay? Mm-hmm. But then I think you go to Johnny coming into the team, me going out of the team, me coming in, going out. You're hanging in there because you're playing for a country because it's such a great buzz. But I kind of knew at that stage I wanted to go coaching. So then I was kind of looking at it, the value of numbers 16 to 23. But I think the real value of an environment or an organisation is numbers 23 to 32. So, for example, in the Crusaders, they're known as the Stars. Mm-hmm. So the Stars kind of prep the first team for the game coming up at the weekend. But essentially, if they have value, respect, self-worth, encouragement, they will add so much to the potential starters. So the key in any organisation, I find, is these guys, because you would have a little bit of experience, but if you're a bib, or as we'd say in Munster, a muppet, grand for a week, okay, but you got to imagine that for 26 weeks of the year, and if you're doing that for 4 years... which a lot of guys in our environment did, you look upon them very differently.
I just think the subs were used a lot less back then, obviously. Like,
yeah, they were.
I remember watching the Sale game recently in 2006, and there wasn't one substitution made until the 78th minute of that game.
Yeah.
So 15 of the players every minute, which was bizarre. Looking back, it's not even that long ago, like, whereas now you'd barely get past 40 minutes or 50 minutes without changing two or three players in the team.
Yeah. No, that is a good point, I suppose. You're after hammering my first point there.
Well, no, it was a different era back then. I mean, there was...
it was a different mentality of picking the team.
Yeah.
I think, to be fair, like, there was no such terms of finishers or impact players.
Yeah.
It was kind of get your best team out there, and if there's an injury, bollocks, there's someone coming in, but hopefully he'll be all right.
Yeah.
But like,
was that because players weren't Irish allowed to develop then, or
I think there was less probably I would say the depth was less too, to be fair. There's a better quality of depth in Irish rugby at the minute. There's more competition for places, and but that's always going to happen, I think, with a progression. You look at the graph, you know what I mean? Like the goal for Munster, oh, fair enough, it's 20 years ago, but it was to keep it under 50 against Toulouse.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was kind of get out of your pool. Then it's kind of trying to get qualifying, a first win in France. Remember the celebrations for that?
Yeah.
It was kind of 3-day bender in Limerick.
Yeah.
So, like, I think what's really interesting about nowadays is you've guys coming into Leinster and Irish rugby, and before them, teams have won, so their mentality is very different.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the annoying aspects I have now, having been finished, is probably coming into a team without, I wouldn't say without standards, but without a kind of, I suppose, a defined culture. So we didn't know what winning tasted like. But I think that's a massive head start to the current group. They come into an environment and...
In the Munster team?
In the Irish team as well. But yeah. I think the Munster aspect is a complete different discussion. I just wish if this new group of players was able to park the history of Munster,
mm-hmm.
and just forget about what has happened in the past, because none of them have influenced it really. There's a handful of guys like Earlsey that we've played with, but other than that, Connor to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Like Donegal Ryan is gone, Peter O'Mahony was just about probably there, you know, so...
But do they need to create their own history by having their own suffering like the E had back in 2000, 2003, and that, you know, by the time 2006 came around, you were just sick to death of losing, and you became the player you were by playing in those huge games every year, and, you know, to a certain extent they've done that now, like Peter O'Mahony's played in 6 semi-finals, or as he's played in something similar.
Yeah, I suppose too as well, I just... Strange thing to say, but in some of those games, watching it as a neutral, obviously I'm a mad Munster fan, but you kind of seem that they're overreaching.
Yeah.
That's not a great way to feel about it.
Yeah.
So I think there is a little bit of depth missing in Munster, but I would like to think their first team would challenge any team. I'm still pretty convinced with that. You put Connor and Chris into that back line, and I think it's a different back line.
I agree. Totally. How did you find they played last weekend? Did you like the direction they're going?
I think what's gone under the radar has been Munster will never be Leinster, and Leinster will be Munster, vice versa. Okay, it's what happens is you have the syndrome of looking over your fence at your neighbour who's doing better than you, and that's what Munster should not fall into the trap. It's a similar story in Crusaders when the All Blacks were so dominant. They were looking at what can they take from the All Black camp and bring it back into the Crusade, what can they take from the Hurricanes and bring it back in. But there came a point when they kind of said, well, these are our strengths, these are our challenges, these are our threats or weaknesses, so we need to identify three things that we'll get better at. Okay. Because if you're always looking, you're going to take your eye off the ball, and sport at this level moves so quickly. So what was really pleasing, I think hasn't been appreciated enough, is that the Munster scrum and the driving maul, it's just so powerful still in modern rugby. The forwards win the game.
Yeah.
I'm still convinced about that. You know?
Where we scored three tries the weekend, yeah.
You know, from and both, I think you have to remember there's a 22-year-old out half who probably everyone expects when he gets the ball that he's nearly like Messi now.
Yeah.
But like, I'd say probably to take back expectation a little bit, maybe... Think what he'll be like in 3 years' time when he's 25. He's nowhere near mature as an old half.
Yeah, I was looking at it with my centre cap and winger cap at the weekend, looking at it and going, he did everything he could do, I thought. I thought he was excellent. I thought he attacked the line. Yeah. But I was like, the players outside him could have maybe offered a little bit more ran better.
And then you got to think about, as you look at it was a pretty rookie midfield.
Yeah, sorry, it was.
Connection,
you're right.
There's a nine playing second game in Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, so like he's the kind of senior halfback partner. So I think you'll see him hit a new level when Connor's there.
Yeah.
because it's unfair of him to be asked to carry that mantle at this stage. He should be coming into a settled team, but it's not settled because of Farrell's injury, Tote's injury. Scanlon's a great player. So it's kind of 3-2 there, isn't it? And then that's without Goggin and Arnold. And then I think what I like coming out over the summer, and I'm not inside or I don't have any moles in the camp who tell me what's going on, but I think that RLZ is kind of bucked up a bit in terms of, I'd say he's kind of said, I'm sick of chasing box kicks. I want ball in hand.
Yeah.
And he's probably the most dangerous back in Irish rugby with ball in his hand.
Yeah, I'd like to see him in a more of a position out the back of a hit line off Joey rather than waiting for the ball to get to his wing.
Yeah, definitely. That's where he's deadly. It's his kind of acceleration, isn't it? Which I think
he did it once the weekend when he put Goggin away with a little in and away. And like we've seen him trying to defend Earlsey when he was at 13, when I was at 13, was a nightmare. Like,
yeah.
He's got 3 yards either side of you and he can go off either foot.
No, you're right.
And it's like that. And I think he's missed that position in his game over the last few years.
Yeah, it's just because he's so good in the wing, probably. And
yeah, as a finisher, probably they're looking at him out there. But yeah, I think if Munster want, like, here's one for you. If Munster want to get to, okay, we don't want to be looking over our shoulder at Leinster, but if they want to be able to challenge them and beat them, do we need to go, like, over the last few years, we've been going in one direction. It's like one-off runners and trying to batter our way through teams.
No, I think
that's what we have been playing.
The previous management and the current management, I think, realise that they need a shift from that. Yeah. I think.
Do you think we need to go in the opposite direction?
No,
to kind of meet in the middle.
I just feel, and it's not a negative comment, but I think that's a game with work rate, with hunger, with desire that Munster are very good at, that works against 3/4 of the team.
Yeah.
But you see, when you're faced by a Leinster or a Saracens, it just doesn't stand up. And there isn't really a different game that the boys have confidence in, so they need to have plan A, B and C. And I think, Ash, when you get to semi-final level, you need to be able to trust your game plan, but also have the capacity to rely on options B and C.
But I suppose, looking back at Rob Penny, he went in a direction of playing a very expansive game, and I think we developed skills to play that. And then, if you know, when he left, it kind of was abandoned then for a while, so our skill level dropped off. I suppose my point is, if we go back to going in one direction, you know, trying to get the ball from one side of the field to the next, or play an expansive game like the likes of Glasgow did a couple of years ago, the likes of Connacht have done it, that will almost.
I always be a massive fan of, I think the game that suits Munster is North South. I just think I think there's some very good carriers. I think obviously footwork could be an issue that could be addressed potentially. Playing the ball out of the tackle, there's massive, I suppose, love for the ruck, because Ireland are the best rucking team in the world, and they're so accurate at ruck time that it filters from the national team down. But I don't think if the headmaster isn't there, I don't think the same rules are applied to how it's analysed at club level.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of, I would say, probably looseness around that area. But I think I think it would be very different, Baz, with a full 15. I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see it. I genuinely am. But I feel that what makes a good player, a great player these days, is if, because everything is so prescriptive, the guys that lift their head and see where the space is and have the balls to kind of, it's not jumping ship or breaking rank, it's kind of, if they have 13 in the front line, what does that mean? They've won in the backfield. Yeah. So you have a full back in the middle of the pitch, which means there's 40 metre space to the right of them, 40 metre space to the left of them. So surely you've talked about that during the week, in terms of if they're coming hard off the line and putting insane pressure on our ball carriers, we have to identify there's been space here or here, but who's going after the ball and who's going after the tap back.
So you think Munster have the players at the moment that are making those decisions for a 10, or was that something that you would have always done yourself? Or
I know, you would have. I think what really brings your point home is talking the run, which Tupoki was a master of.
Yeah.
Like, I just learned so much from playing with him in terms of, you know what I mean, getting to who. What does getting to who mean? So for people that probably aren't rugby nerds or enjoy it as much as I do, so he'd basically on the run say, he'd point out a defender in the line and just say, get to him.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the last second or fraction of a second, he'd just kind of go plus or minus. So if he wanted a plus, he'd beat your man on the outside shoulder. If he wanted a minus, he'd beat your man on the inside shoulder. I obviously had an incredible passing game, which we won't talk about today.
Agree to which, that. Yeah.
But it's just, you know what I mean? People, commentators, anyone looking at it going, what a great pass. I'm kind of going, if only he knew.
He knew that I've been told that he's going to be there.
It's not that hard to pass a ball if you've been told, here, Raj.
Yeah. Did you ever meet him?
Yeah, I've been in contact with him all the time. Yeah, it's great when people go, you know, I think sometimes when you're at home, you don't appreciate it.
Yeah.
I think, but when you get out, it's kind of that grow for Munster just grows, and Lefimi and Rua and Trevor Halstead and Sean, Jim, John Langford. I hope I'm not leaving out people like Mikey Mullins. There's plenty of them.
Yeah.
Met them all when I've been around for Super Rugby, but it's just that common bond, which is great.
Yeah, I think we need a few more. Yeah, we'll bring the Donkey Sanctuary to New Zealand, we'll all go down Australia.
It was, but that was a great strength of Munters, and I don't want it to dilute. I think they've always made quality signings.
Yeah.
But
who bought into it?
There's been a few, one or two dodgy ones that has diluted it. But like, the great news during the week is that Conor Murray signs on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as Munster people, that was hugely important.
Yeah.
Because the team was always built around local, Limerick, Cork, Tip, Clare men. And if you dilute that, if they lose focus of that, it's not a good way to go.
Well, hopefully we might see you back there at some point to keep up that tradition. Fingers crossed.
People can't see my facial expressions, can they? Oh no, they can't. It's video, is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was the radio.
No, there it is. There you have it. Someday he'll be back.
Someday, please God.
Yeah. Well, look, thanks a million for coming in. I really appreciate it, man. And we'll catch up for a beer.
Absolutely. So, thanks, Baz. Great.
You're listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness.
Okay, that was Barry's first interview. He's not mucking about. Straight in the deep end. Ronan O'Gara. No half measures, Barry.
Yeah, that was a baptism of fire. Baptism? That was a baptism of fire, wasn't it?
Yeah, Pat, you're obviously very well versed in interviews.
As a professional like myself, yeah.
Some feedback for Barry?
I was just saying it was Munster heavy, but there was no harm in that at all. And what a great guy to have for our first guest, and a throwback to the Hard Yards as well, where Rog used to be on as well. So there's a nice little bit of synergy there, which I liked. You guys got on well, and it's just great to see him doing the job. And as you said, they flogged that lad last week, and he's still coming out with fresh stuff as well, which is the great thing about when you talk to him. And
that's the thing about Rog, he can stump you, man. He was the only one when you played that he would stump you with some wisdom or whatever. He was like, he's so intense, but jeez.
You stumped him though, Barry, at one stage.
Did I?
You could see something about, there was, you're talking about the 15 people around you, and then he made some point about the extended squad, and you said yes, but the game was very different back then. Yeah, and you can see he was like, "Oh, geez, Barry's done a job on me here."
I'll take it.
Yeah.
But anyway, welcome Pat McCary, producer Pat. Proddy Pat, we're going to call you for the duration.
Proddy Pat, nice to have another Proddy on the show.
Yep, as producer. Yeah, that's what we are. Of course.
Yeah, I'm a producer too. Yeah. And he's a Catholic.
Yes. Yeah. Well, great to have you on the show. Anything you'd like to pick up on what we've been talking about? Have we been talking shite, or are we all right?
There's a mixture. I like that.
So there's some shite.
A slurry-ish mixture going on. But I like to talk about you not needing your knees there at all against Aroni. And I said, even though that was on the red button or the blue button, this is my job now for the next couple of days, try and find that moment where you did a Freddie Burns.
You'll do well.
You'll do well.
Find it, yeah.
It's hidden. It? Yeah.
There's probably some hater out there, some Trimble hater out there who's got the footage. Like, he's been compiling this for years. This is what I'm doing with Virgil van Dijk at the moment. Yeah. Liverpool. Every mistake he makes, I'm putting it in a little file somewhere.
I don't think you'll have to look far to find a couple of Trimble haters. They're readily available.
But yeah, I was at the... we were lucky enough on Friday there. Actually, when Rog was in, he was saying to me... he's always slagging me for having a Leinster bias as well, and... He's saying to me, I bet you're going to the Leinster game. I bet you're going to enjoy that. Like, you know? I was telling him, like, no, I'm going to the Munster game. Munster Gloucester next weekend's coming up. And he's like, yeah, I bet you are. But it was great to go along there. And it was class there in the RDS on Friday night. And
Good atmosphere.
Oh, it was brilliant. Yeah. It was a sellout.
It looked like the Aviva last week was a lot of people chatting, a huge atmosphere. But RDS looked like it was bubbling a bit.
Yeah, and it was kind of just like the... As you said there, just before the first half, they kind of knew if they could break them there. It's a thing that I saw, we were watching, I think most of us were watching the Bath Toulouse game at the weekend. And I think Kano got himself sent off or sin binned for Toulouse, and Bath kicked it out of play. And you could hear the commentators say, that's, you know, they're going to regroup and see how they're going to attack him. But Leinster and Ireland don't think that way. That was their moment to put the hammer down on Wasps then as well. And they got the try out of it as well. And I thought, as you guys mentioned him as well, Rhys Ruddock, I thought was brilliant, and then Sean Cronin too. Mm-hmm. They had a line out and they just kept it going, and so much variety. It wasn't just they were doing spreading it wide; they were doing everything, and so it's just great to see. And you knew the minute they got that score, they came out after the second half and got another score again, and all of a sudden the game was over, and they kept going till the end. And like I was talking to Leo Cullen at the end, and he mentioned Sean O'Brien coming on, and you know he didn't get the shout when Dan Levy got injured, but came off the bench, got a turnover, and you know they just kind of kept the foot on the throat the whole way, and then that was it. Yeah, like as you guys mentioned as well, James Lowe, like I think he had 184 meters gained in that game, and just an incredible player to watch. And I'd never had the pleasure of sitting down and listening to him talk, but I'd heard that he was, you know, quality, and we heard that a little bit earlier on when he was talking about the cars, you know, like his car being broken into. But he also had another nice thing to say there about how the foreign players are being looked after, and they have a foreign group, and how they help them settle in, and they're off to do something nice this weekend. So I think we can hear that now.
It's been outstanding. You know, me and my girlfriend have really settled in. We're enjoying our time here. She's enjoying her job, and that's half of it. You get your life sorted off the field, and on the field becomes easy. So like I said, paint and Prosecco, I think this tomorrow. I don't know the Prosecco side, but I back my painting skills, and I'll tell you on Monday how we go.
Was it painting?
Like, yeah. Painting pictures or like paintball or what? What's going on?
I first thought it was paintball, but yeah. Paintball and Prosecco would be class though, wouldn't it? What I think they're doing, which is just all going, you know, getting painting lessons and sipping Prosecco at the same time, but...
That's so D4.
Isn't it?
That's what you're saying. You can't find a reason to hate Leinster, but you've found one.
That's one, yeah.
Yeah. What would be the equivalent in Belfast now?
In Belfast?
Yeah, of painting and Prosecco.
Ah, jeez.
You can't.
There's nothing
comparison.
Like. Yeah. Yeah.
Book fast. And yeah.
Yeah. All right, lads, don't be derogatory about that. Yeah.
That's actually a good place to go. Because we haven't covered them yet, but the Ulster game. Both you boys had watched it over the weekend, and John Cooney is a guy who played well again. And I think you mentioned before that John Cooney's a lad who backs himself, isn't he?
Yeah, he's he was a very unique character at the start whenever he came in, and we didn't know him. We kind of didn't really know what to expect, and we sort of probably expected this cocky Leinster young fella, and then he came in, and obviously Ruin Pienaar had just left, and John Cooney came in, big shoes to fill, and we thought, this guy be nervous, you know, about taking Ruin Pienaar's place? And he introduced himself to the squad, and he said, first of all, I'd like to say sorry for the passing of Ruan. Yes. And we were like, how dare you? But then the joke didn't really land, because just the accent, he kind of mumbled a little bit, and a couple of guys thought that he meant the passing, like the poor passing.
Right.
As in, not that he died. So the Ruan dying joke is funny.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we kind of realised, this guy's actually hilarious, and he's a great lad, and he's settled in really well. Mm. So,
yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's very popular up there.
Is he?
The boys are loving him, kind of supporters as well. And he's settled in really well and done a good job. So,
Yeah, I was very impressed with Lowry as well. Just like, I love the way that Leicester tried to focus on, and you know, targeting with a few high balls, and he dropped the first one, which was a tough one to take, and then took the next few. But just his footwork, his speed, his attitude. I mean, when he started coming into himself, I felt he lifted the rest of the team, because it just adds another dynamic. I've been in teams like that when someone like can come out of nowhere and you maybe be a little bit worried about him, and then they do something outrageous that no one expects, and the whole team gets a boost off it. And yeah, it's just so exciting to see guys like that, and young, smaller guys that are using their pace, and obviously have developed a way of using their size and their speed to their advantage.
Yeah,
I love seeing that. And Addison as well, I thought was very, very impressive. And I just thought it was a good win. Jeez, they played a lot of rugby, used the weather well in the first half, and didn't kick a lot of ball. And
yeah, so you're a big Mike Lowry fan then.
Yeah,
as a fellow little man, you're glad to see the little man do well.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, I was light, I suppose. I'm tall and long armed.
Yeah,
but I was quite light.
I meant no offense.
You know, we can all be huge, awkward lumps, like, you know. But yeah, I think there's especially with the new rules that are coming in. Like you saw at the weekend, I think Kano getting pulled for that yellow card.
Yeah.
With that high tackle, which I thought was fair enough. Like I've seen the, I spoke to Johnny Lacey, the referee, last week, and he sent me on some things that the refs are pulling teams for at the moment, and one of them is an upright tackler who's, you know, making shoulder collision with someone's head or chin or whatever, and it's straight red card is what they're looking for. So I actually think Kano got away with it. Not only was it a yellow card, but it could have been a red. And just seeing those, that aim is to potentially bring the tackle height below the chest or below the nipple, even, they're saying that. You could see a lot of these smaller players like the Shane Williams of our time, and Brenton Paulsen, and those kind of guys.
Shane Williams was your era. I mean, I kind of I'm only just retired.
of course. But yeah, do you remember coming up against Shane Williams? Like, Jesus Christ, like he'd get the ball in a normal phase and you'd be like, I got to watch myself. But then if it was like the ball was dribbling along the ground, or if it was broken play, he'd get it and the whole place would be like, oh fuck, what's he going to do? It's like, you know, he just had that ability because he developed from a young age how to use his speed and how to use space and manipulate space. And I think we've missed that in international rugby and professional rugby for the last few years, and I think that tackle rule will allow a lot of that, and hopefully encourage smaller players to get, like you saw for Toulouse on Saturday.
Colby,
like, yeah. His footwork, yes, man. Absolutely, yeah. And he's a tough guy, like, and Shane Williams was a very tough guy as well, I think we'll all agree. So
that's the thing, if that's the way the game's going to go, and there's going to be a role for young or smaller fellas, then you have to be as talented as Shane Williams, you have to be as talented as potentially Michael Lowry, you know, these young fellas, to make up for that elsewhere. Not going to have that physicality, you got to bring an X factor to the game.
Exactly.
And as you said, it was nice to see a young fella, Mike Lowry. I think there was a lot of chat, all the chat before the game was about him, wet night, Leicester. It was the perfect storm.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they came, Leicester did exactly what we thought they were going to do, put a few high balls on him early on, dropped the first one, and you're going, we are really going to find out what he's made of here. Mm. And he's obviously pretty switched on upstairs as well. He's pretty mentally tough, because he thrived the rest of the game. So good to see.
Yeah, you were mentioning the Kano one there, and it was actually interesting, the thing you shared after speaking to John Lacey, the things that they're looking out for. But I was very interested in this ladder of destiny. That's part of it as well.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's something that we must share.
Very dramatic, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like, the seriousness of what you've done and the end results as well, and this ladder of destiny going here. But it's something we must even share on Sports Show as well. But the other one, the big decision over the weekend, and I kind of put out a clip of it on my Twitter account at the weekend, and it was the Andrew Conway thing on Gareth Steenson with his lovely new beard as he was taking his conversion. And it was almost just like, it's such a funny clip, because you just see Steenson takes the kick, full second goes by, and then there's like a Macho Man elbow drop comes in from nowhere, like, and
with a chair, WWE.
Just Conway coming from the ladder, like, you know, like, but I was amazed to kind of see him kind of, and then of course gets up, you know, arms raised, you know, sorry about that. And it was just because it was half time he got away with it, and the crowd, a lot of the crowd missed it as well. But such a funny incident,
it
wasn't
was
it?
Bizarre. It was, and I think in Andrew's defence, he's not that kind of player. He's not a dirty player or anything like that. And if you look at it, he's completely looking at the ball, and then Steenson is obviously the angle he's coming from. It's not like he has the ball in his hands. Mm. So Steenson's over to the right and Conway's just staring at the ball, and all he wants to do is get height in the air. So it is a weird, when you think of it like that, it's quite weird. And he does come down high with the elbow, but I think it was just a very random thing to happen. And I think the referee, fair play to him, realised that Steenson was actually grand, and he got up and he was fine once he kind of played a little bit that he was hurt, but I don't think he was. So yeah, bizarre, but I think the ref did well. Mm. You know what I mean?
I was kind of wondering, have you guys ever done that? Like, have you ever sprinted from the line in one of those moments, like, let's go, charge this down, and you realise you're the only one out there on your own? Like, has that ever happened to you before?
No, but I've gone to charge down a penalty kick. So stupid.
Of course you have.
At the time, I thought it was a conversion or something. I just went autopilot. I just started. It was in New Zealand on tour. Yeah, I was a youngster.
And what happened?
The ref just looked at me. It didn't matter. I didn't get anywhere near it, and he got the conversion anyway. But he looked at me.
What
are you doing? Are you a professional?
So eager.
Yeah. Love rugby. Love charging down kicks. Anyway, I got fined and done again. Then I got Callan, fined me on the bus the next class. Day for being absolutely thick.
That's brilliant.
Anyway,
that's another one for the file, isn't it?
The haters file. Yeah.
But the Munster game itself, you guys are watching that as well, and they'll be happy with that. Like, I know they haven't won away from home yet this season, but they'd surely be happy with that, wouldn't they? Like, getting the couple of points.
I think all the talk beforehand was how difficult it was going to be for Munster to go to Exeter and get a result, and. Granted, Exeter, great side, it's a tough place to go, but I think ride off Munster at your peril, like, and that side and what they can achieve, and I think they should have won the game, and I think that's the way they look at it. They control the tempo, the intensity, it was all on their terms for a lot of the game, and that's such a hard thing to do, but it just shows the experience that they're at. And they're still missing some of their best players, like Earlsey pulling out at the last minute was... That's a huge blow to them. You know, he's playing some of his best rugby at the moment. Obviously, Connor be missing and Farrell, and having they've got young pairings all over the pitch. You know, with big, big important pairings like halfbacks are huge for any team, and we've got inexperienced combination there. We've got inexperienced centres there, and for them to go out and take control of a team like that are leading the Premiership, I think they'll be very happy with how they control the game. But
it's Europe, isn't it? Isn't that what Munster do though?
Yeah,
they just rewind a few weeks ago and they're getting hammered in Cardiff. Mm-hmm. A couple of weeks before that they're getting hammered in Glasgow. Now they've had a few big performances at home,
yeah,
but then it's been head and shoulders way better than any other away performance this season, and it's Europe. They just get to that European stage and then they just say, right lads, time to turn up.
Yeah,
and they're just unbelievable in Europe, and as you say, the tendency is not to write them off, but just think, oh, maybe this Munster side, isn't quite up there to mix it with the Leinsters and the Saracens, but they're right up there now.
Absolutely, and I think once these guys start getting more confidence, I think they rely heavily on the basics that you saw at the weekend, like the scrum, the line out, the maul, really solid. Defence was awesome. Intensity was good. But then, when we get into the green zone, it's hard not to. When Munster get into the green zone and they get into more of attacking position, sometimes they take the foot off the pedal a little bit in terms of how expansive they're willing to play. And I think that will come with time once they grow a confidence and this competition and the Pro 14 evolves. And the point I was trying to make to Rog, I suppose, earlier on in the interview was when I said they should, could they potentially go in more of an expansive direction to meet in the middle, because they've got a really solid foundation at the moment. They're a really hard team to beat. They do the fundamentals really well, but they lack a little bit of X factor at times, and they have the players to do it. I know they're young guys, but like Dan Goggin has ridiculous skills. Earlsey, Carberry, Conway, Farrell, like some really talented players. And, you know, in the Pro 14, when these guys play lesser games, should they be given the chance to, you know, show off a little bit more and play a little bit more of an expansive game? So when it comes to crunch games in this championship, that they can pull out the goods.
Yeah, well, Rog touched on that, didn't he? He said, you know, this Munster side will always be at their best whenever they're north-south.
Mm-hmm.
And as a future Munster coach...
yeah, as he said.
Yeah. You would imagine kind of if that's what he's got in his head. And there's probably a bit of a romantic notion for that as well. You know, Rog and yourself are kind of taking trips down memory lane and kind of talking about the old lads and the way it used to be. And, you know, the way it used to be, you go down to Thomond Park and you get the squeeze put on you. And it's hard to get away from how successful that was.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. It's good. Like, it's... And I'll be interested to see how they go for the rest of the season. But I think we've done a good job of rounding up most things there over the weekend. Toulon and Lyon lost the way. That's, you know, big shock results there as well. But I think we've done a good job there. And I'm very proud of the two of you
Thanks
as well.
Thanks very much, man. Yeah, we did it.
I'm a father.
High five.
It's when you have us back.
Oh, we'll have you back. And then we'll move on now, Gex, to Ask HOR, Ask House of Rugby. And we put the tweet out there last night and just looking for feedback, questions over the weekend, and got a great response on the House of Rugby Twitter account. And you guys had put out the old Wayne and Gareth, you know, gifts as well. Like, and you got great responses there as well. So I think, Barry, yeah, you maybe get the first one. And thanks everybody for sending that in as well, and keep that up over the course of the season, and I won't have to do any research or anything at all.
So Mark Moorhead asks Andrew, who are the standout future Ulster players? I'm thinking O'Toole, Lowry, Curtis.
Those are the three. I'm thinking of as well. That's like in school, whenever someone asks a question that they know the answer to.
Yeah.
Is it this? Like, yeah. That's the end of that. Yeah, Tommy O'Toole's gone really well at the start of the season, especially in the Lewis. He's been throwing his weight around a bit. Mike Lowry stood up the big test of the weekend. Angus Kernaghan. Curtis especially looks like a young kind of Paddy Wallace, you know, kind of a lot more physical than he looks, quite punchy, quite dynamic, good skill set, good footwork. Angus Kernaghan is another one. Again, a guy who kind of potentially could have slipped through the net. He was in the sub-academy at the start of the summer, and then he got a couple of games in the friendlies, did really well. And now he's up, you know, he's the dizzy heights of an academy contract.
Yeah.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing. Nothing. We'll come back to it.
We'll talk about it off air, I think.
Exactly, really? Yeah. Question two. Realistically, how many teams can beat Leinster? Munster struggled in the Aviva. Saracens looked only okay today. Racing, is this?
That's what we said yesterday, yeah. Because they had just struggled to that 13-3 win over Glasgow, I think.
Yeah.
Saracens, so... yeah, you're saying... I think he's just kind of saying who are the only teams that can really push Leinster, because a lot of teams are fearing already. Yeah, so Quillan was just kind of saying he thinks Exeter, Munster, Saracens and maybe Racing are the only teams that can give Leinster a proper rattle in Europe.
That's probably fair enough. You know, it's going to take a lot to beat them for sure, but you know, I think Munster showed last weekend that you know, there's very little between the two sides in the Aviva last week. A couple of referee decisions and so on, but I think, you know, it'll take a lot. Racing obviously pushed them very, very close last year in the final. Sarries did look pretty strong at the weekend, and we know what they can do. They're experienced in this competition as well. So, and you know, as we said, Leinster aren't going to take any of this lightly. They're not. They're really out to win this trophy again. They're not even trying to defend it. I think just hearing the way they're talking about it is, they want to win it from scratch with a new, you know. A new batch of players, and yeah, it's going to be a tough one, but we'll see.
The next one, and I was delighted to get this in because Connacht got the win over Bordeaux at the weekend, and Kyle Godwin got a couple of tries from as well. But this is from Nathan Mangan, sent this in to us, and he has said Andy Friend is clearly he's got a great effect at Connacht with their resurgence. Like Delan, actually, he's doing really well. Cian Kelleher and Tiernan O'Halloran putting in a strong statement for. These guys are basically, Nathan's saying these guys should be in the mix for November. So he's saying, out of all these Connacht guys, they've started the season off decent. Do you think any of them deserve a chance to get back into the mix for Ireland in November?
Yeah, I think, well, just kind of that performance up in Ulster was pretty impressive by a lot of those fellas, based on the backbone of really, really kind of physical defence. Tom Farrell's thrown his weight around, Bundy Aki thrown his weight around, and Tom Farrell, I don't think, gets the recognition he kind of deserves, really. Tiernan, obviously. Sean O'Brien, I thought, is going really well at the minute. Obviously, there's no space in the back row. There's so much competition, so I don't know if he'll get any joy there, but I thought he was really good that night, especially, anyway.
He's a big unit, isn't he?
You
know, Lurch, kind of with red hair.
I got in trouble, actually, that night on Premier Sports. It was at halftime, they said he's made 17 tackles, and that was all the chat, 17 tackles. And then maybe about 6, 7, 8 minutes in the second half, I kind of thought, oh, he's made around about 3 or 4 tackles, right?
Right.
So I just quoted the stat. I just went, that's his 21st tackle, right? Yeah. So then they started talking, the production team and all were saying, that's 21 tackles after 48 minutes. And then the girl who was interviewing someone after the game, you made 21 tackles after 48 minutes. And then they asked me afterwards, and I went, this has got out of hand. I made that up. I just said 21. Don't quote me on it, lad. So I wonder where they thought I was sourcing my information from.
Anyway. You just had your little notebook out counting the tackles that he made. But this wasn't the first time you'd stepped in it there. You pissed off Jordan Murphy then as well, hadn't you?
I did. That was a kind of bad time as well, because I was doing the radio at the weekend, and then he did a pre-match interview, and he said, you know, we've heard the comments of Andrew Trimble through the week, and it's provided us with a bit of inspiration. I went, oh no, because it was just it needed to be put in context to what I said. You know, you could create a one-liner, and I'm sure it was clickbait, and I doubt Jordy listened to the full anyway.
I just put it up in the dressing room.
Exactly. Like, yeah. Here's the bad guy.
Yeah.
It's Andrew.
Edited,
but he's not playing anymore. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Anyway, and then I had this moment. I was like, do I get really defensive and go into? No, what I was saying was, and anyway, I just stuff it.
You basically called give Leicester Tigers a walkover, didn't
yeah,
you?
I did, yeah, more or less. Yeah. I was making the point that in Ulster's pool, they've got Saracens and Racing and Leicester, and it's weird that at this stage there's so much competition in this in Europe and in that pool in particular, that strangely a European heavyweight like Leicester coming to Ravenhill, coming to King's Pond, is probably the easiest fixture, even though it's not easy. So anyway, that was the one liner. This is Ulster's easiest game. Anyway, carnage.
Foolish.
I better give him a shout.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's good. I think we've covered them all there, and hopefully, as you said, we'll get to more of them, and we might even answer a couple on Instagram or something if we haven't got to them afterwards, and do something like that, just because the wealth of stuff that we got in from people there was brilliant. So if they can keep that up over the season, it'd be great. So perfect for that, and you can hit your outro now.
My outro?
Yeah, have you brought your guitar with you?
Wayne's World. No, it's been an absolute pleasure. Yeah, thank you all for listening, for tuning in, for watching on YouTube and all the rest. So we'll enjoy the rugby next weekend, and we'll be back next week to take you through everything that's gone on.
But before we let you go, this is almost like the episode 2 teaser that they'd put up on Netflix or something. We've got a little, the boys over in, there's going to be House of Rugby UK, and we've got a little teaser of what's coming up there. Their first episode is out on Wednesday, so have a listen to this.
Hi, I'm James Haskell. Join me next Wednesday for a new show on Joe, House of Rugby. We go inside the changing room, in the malls, in the rucks, news, analysis, and lots of my unbelievable chat. Okay, it's terrible, but it'll be lots of me.
Yeah, so we've got James Haskell there whetting the appetite for the English equivalent.
Unbelievable chat.
Yeah, this is where his chat comes from.
Pointing to his mouth. Thank you for that, James.
Yeah, nice one, David Brent. David Brent-esque.
I will look forward to having a bit of banter back and forth with them over the next few months as well.
Absolutely.
Okay, it's been a pleasure. Thanks to everyone who's behind the scenes in the show. Thanks to Pat for coming on and keeping us in order. Thank you for everyone for tuning in, and to our sponsors, Guinness. And yeah, we'll see you back here next week to round up all the rugby from next weekend.
You were listening to Baz and Andrew's House of Rugby on Joe, together with Guinness. Drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for the facts.